All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
This is Frank Nicotero, and you're listening to Storyworthy. You know that.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Jeopardy studio on the Sony lot in Culver City, California.
Now, I've actually never been on that lot.
I have been on that lot several times.
Not that lot, but that show. I've never been on that set.
I had a friend who was on that show, but it's interesting because they have a whole pool of maybe 10 contestants back there, right? Mm-hmm. So you know how one of the three wins and he goes to the next day, which is the next half hour because they shoot them all in one day.
Right.
And then they pull a lottery and pull the other two out. So my friend, I went to a taping and watched five episodes of Jeopardy in a row, which is not nearly as entertaining as you would think it would be.
Right.
And he never got on.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he was, but it was weird to me. It's like, so they're like tense. Am I going to be picked? And then he never got on. So he got on next week.
Okay. Well, yep. Tonight's topic is game shows.
Game shows.
Brought forth by game show host Frank Nicotero.
Wow. How self-serving of him.
A Pittsburgh guy.
Oh,
also,
Jesus Christ.
Also, a friend of the show. He's been on this show many
He is a
times.
Friend of the show. He is a Pittsburgh guy. He's a Steeler fan. He is right now wearing a Steeler jersey and no pants.
Which is a good look, really. And
it
the
is
Uggs.
A,
I think the
it's
Uggs
a good look
really
for some.
Top it off, I
he's
think.
Got, yeah, he's got the,
and then
you know.
He keeps with the classic Steeler beanie. And I think that's
right.
Just and
he's got the six rings, as your husband says. They had the five rings, so they won for the thumb when they won the sixth, one for the cock. There you
know,
go.
I'm not married.
Well, your ex-husband, I'm sorry.
No, actually, I am married. But I'm not, you know, I've been divorced,
right.
Separated for 2 years.
Yes, exactly.
We can't talk about the legalities of things, but it's all good. You know.
Well, I'm just saying that your husband, who just is such
We're
a straight-laced guy, every once in a while he'll just come out with, and it's one for the cock. You're like, where did that come from?
Well, let me tell you. Game shows. That's what Frank wants to talk about. And I think what some people don't know out there is that game shows are definitely taped in a group, so they
right.
Will
the entire week is one day.
Or five episodes in one day, and then stockpile them for the future airing. So it's very intense for a
right.
while.
And that's why, if like say on Jeopardy, a guy wins the whole week, by Thursday or Friday, his outfits are getting weirder and weirder.
Right.
Because he's
his
only
wardrobe,
brought like two ties
right,
and three
and
shirts.
Wardrobe approved the best one first.
Yeah, yeah.
So
day
by the
one,
fourth and fifth
he
choice,
looks great. He's in a suit. By day three, he's wearing a t-shirt with Elton John on it.
Because that's the other thing, you guys. Game shows, unless you win, they're not paying you anything. You get nothing but like a nice long day with hopefully good craft services. You know, in
yes,
studio.
Exactly right.
But you're not getting.
That's why people in show business, it's hard to not be fat because it's like you're basically getting paid in food most of the time.
Mostly
like,
food. Your car is outside. You know, you leave at the end of the day just like everybody else. Anyway, so a lot of actors and actresses, Hannes, don't you find that when they first move to L.A., they go on game shows, don't they?
Right. There's all this famous footage. Tom Selleck was on The Dating Game back in the 60s.
Right. Well, lots of people were on The Dating Game.
Lots of people on Dating Game.
But it's easier to get accepted on a game show than to book a job or even get an agent.
Right.
Matter,
exactly. Because
you
you're not guaranteed that you're going
to
make any money.
And so what they do is they always use like your hometown. Your old hometown, you know, your hometown and your career, that's where they're going to say you're from. You know,
yeah.
It's going to be Christine Blackburn, you know, flight attendant from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Christine Blackburn, out of work actress.
Yeah,
living
exactly.
In Los Angeles,
right. And so, and whenever you see somebody and they're like a writer or something nebulous on a talk show, it's like, no, they're just an actor who wanted to be on television, to make their mother say to shut up. They're like, look, I'll be on Jeopardy, okay? You'll see me.
I was on about four or maybe even five game shows, but I truly forget the names of most of them. There was one I was on called Outrageous that I think our guest tonight, Frank Nicotero, I think he had something to do with that game. It was the thing, it was like, you know, you go out on the street, man on the street, make people do outrageous things. And it was really pretty horrible. It humiliated people and it wasn't so good. But then I was on the dating game.
Yes.
That's a good story. And I've told it before on the show.
Right, so
and
we're going to
do that because it's my show.
And we're going to reference it. So this is like on Wikipedia when the word is highlighted and you can click on it. We're
going to
highlight the date that you can go back in the archives.
Go back to the archives just of last year, August 2013, and I tell that story again about being on the dating game, being bachelorette number two, and of course I won.
Yes.
I shouldn't say
then,
of course.
And then being tossed out immediately with the guy you were going to be going to Arizona with, and suddenly you're on the street by a Denny's.
Right.
You want to go to Denny's?
That's right. We won a trip to Tucson, Arizona. No, I didn't mean to say of course I won, but during the actual show when they took the break, you know, and the music starts up and then I'm bachelor number two between the girls.
Yeah.
They both looked at me and said, "You won." And I'm like, "I know." Because you guys were like...
Right, and it's a good thing you had two middle fingers for one for either side. Like, I know, bitches! Woo! Suck it!
What was your favorite game show growing up, Hannes?
I'm not a big game show fan. Jeopardy, I have to say, because I... Jeopardy is the best
ghost show. But what about Match Game? I love Match Game.
Well, of course, the Match Game mostly... That Match Game was just an excuse for smart-ass remarks and dirty jokes.
And smoking cigarettes and cocktails.
Yeah, he had the tiny...
Long
he had the, like
mic.
A foot and a half long mic.
Gene Rayburn.
With a tiny little thing at the end, windscreen at the end of it.
Dirty.
Yeah, dirty. And it would always be Brett Summers would do one. Yeah, that was great.
Nelson Reilly. It was terrific.
Yeah, we come home at like right after you come home from school, the Match Game would be on.
And then also the Gong Show. I love the Gong Show. Chuck Barris,
yeah.
The unknown comic, Gene, the dancing machine.
Gene, the dancing machine, sure, of course.
You know, Pee Wee Herman, he was on that show as talent, I believe.
Oh, there probably a million people were
but
on that show.
The funniest thing about that was how, you know, it's like the talent would get, they'd have to get gonged and they'd have to leave the stage. But there would be this big buildup before they were going to get gonged, you know, because they couldn't gong until like 45 seconds. So
right.
The panel.
Right,
would
they'd
get
be
up,
fighting. There'd be Vicky
very,
Lawrence.
Yeah, and they'd be very slowly rising of this gong, you know, and there was this big parody. And sometimes they would even take the gong onto the stage and make the talent gong themselves.
Oh, that's just cruel.
Just wrong.
See, we could bring that back now, but like the Kardashians have taken all the irony out of the world. It's like it's like untalented people actually have careers now. They don't get gonged.
Okay.
They get a development deal.
Okay, so let me tell you a quick story.
You have another game show story.
Another game show story about going on The Price is Right. Now, I wasn't on the show. I didn't get picked. But right. I didn't know I was not going to get picked. That show, they do this little pre-interview while you're standing in line, and they determine who they're going to call while you're in the stage.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, this was when I first moved to L.A., and I had some friends in town visiting from Pittsburgh, my buddy Jim Dillon, who I was a flight attendant with, and his three best friends. Now, his three best friends, all really big, big guys. Two of them were named Mike. They're all cement layers. Very, very strong.
Like physically
very
large people.
Huge people, right. They wanted to see The Price is Right. Like, that's all they wanted to do in L.A. was get on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
So you got a line up there at CBS Studios. It's right by the Grove and the Farmer's Market, right?
It's Mid-City. Called Television City.
Television City. You'd get in line by like 6 a.m. to get a spot for the day's tapings. So there's like 200-300 people in line.
Yeah.
And they give out numbers at 8 a.m. And then you can leave after you get your number. And then you got to come back for your taping. So our show is like 2 o'clock. So then what did I do with these four large men from Pittsburgh? Well, I followed them out to the parking lot. They pulled lawn chairs out of the back of the goddamn rental truck.
Yeah.
And we tailgated. They had a cooler. They had beers. And we tailgated in the parking lot of CBS Studios. So anyway, at about 1 o'clock, we got to line up again. And a few producers, they come along, and they're interviewing everybody to determine, you know, who they're going to call down to the stage.
Right, exactly.
So my friends are all wearing their Steeler jerseys, waving their fucking terrible towels, you know? And they're so excited, and they're answering the questions very enthusiastically, and Pittsburgh, cement layer, and they just were so excited.
Right. I am a cliche, put me on television.
Right. Now, once you get inside, once you get inside the Price is Right stage and you take your seat and you start looking around, you see how dinky this set is, right?
Yeah.
It's old and it's worn and it's been there, you know, I don't know, 30 years?
Yeah.
The Showcase Showdown wheel is completely falling apart. But now the lights come on, the music starts, Bob Barker's coming out, Johnny Olsen, the announcer, remember that guy?
Yeah.
He's come on down. The audience is fucking going nuts. People are screaming. There's a spotlight sweeping back and forth in the audience. Some people were in costume, and my buddy Jim Dillon fucking starts shaking so badly because he's so nervous, and he's sweating profusely. So I see him swallow two small white pills in his pocket.
Yeah.
I said, Dylan, what are you doing, man? He's like, oh, Christine, my heart, my heart's pumping so fast. I can't take it. I'm so excited. And he pops two Valiums.
Nice.
So the show is going on. We're not getting called. Johnny Olsen's calling out the people. It's the last guest he's going to call up to the stage to play the game.
Yeah.
Jim Dillon is sweating so badly. His shirt is wet. I mean, there's so much grossness coming off this guy. He pulls two more Valium out of his pocket and he takes them. And I'm thinking, Dylan, this show runs in real time. We're leaving the stage in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And this Valium is going to kick in. Anyway, we don't get called out. We do not get called out. The show is over. And after lingering around the stage as long as my friends possibly could, looking around, trying to, like, you know, see celebrities... Like celebrities are going to be hanging out at the
Price
is Right.
Yeah, it's like, God, I hope I meet somebody from Pittsburgh on Valium.
They're looking
said
for like
Eric,
those models. You know. Anyway, we go out to the parking lot and the Showcase Showdown winner that did win the game is in the parking lot. They went up and got her autograph and pictures.
Nice.
Which is awesome. Anyway, so then we had, this is the end of the story. Just, okay, Anthony, it's the end of the story. We head down to...
Pretending he has a noose and he's hanging himself.
These guys, you know, they're visiting from Pittsburgh, so we head down to Venice Beach, right?
Of course you do.
Dylan, of course, at this point, completely passed out in the back seat.
Yeah.
He's not waking up for days.
Yeah.
Now, the reason we go to Venice Beach is because one of the mics, one of the cement layers, he wanted to get another tattoo around his elbow. And when I asked him about why there were 5-6 rings around his elbow, he told me because each ring represents a year in prison.
Nice. Pittsburgh once again representing. I was really hoping that you know on the four Valium he'd be pulled up there. Bob Barker's like, "Where you, Steelers?"
You know what I find very depressing is if you go into a retirement village or an old age home, as you would say, or something like that. Like in Pittsburgh, when I visit home, I'll visit friends and. You know, there are new accommodations or whatever. And you hear the Price is Right coming out of the rooms.
Yeah.
And it's so goddamn depressing.
Well, because it's a sound of excitement and happiness in the silent din of waiting for death.
That's what it is.
A little too much?
That's what it is, though. There's this paradox going on. I used to, in Pittsburgh, I used to volunteer for this Animal Rescue League. And I would take the kittens and puppies that were going to be euthanized, and I would take them across the street to this hospice, which is where people go to die. So there was like this die thing going on.
Wow.
The animals, and I'd take them over, and the Price is Right, like I said, would be blaring. You put the kitten in, this lady's lap. You know what do you say?
It's like which one of you will be dead first?
Dog? Yeah. Really.
Oh my God,
really
that is
tough.
That's the most. That may be the single most depressing story I've ever heard.
Right.
Taking the die. Oh, but I just want to say something. You were talking about how cheap the set looked. I remember I got here to LA just in time for Johnny Carson's last year.
Oh, wow.
And I saw Johnny Carson do The Tonight Show, which was awesome. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that the bandstand, which was glittery and exciting and fun on television, looked like shit in real life. It was cardboard.
Like banner like flags Mylar.
It was just looked awful. And then they put the lights on it, and that's the important thing, the lights. And you look at it on television, you're like, it looks like you're in friggin' Vegas.
That is amazing.
But in real life, TV sets look terrible.
Yeah, it's all in the camera, I guess. And the
lights. It's all in the light. It's in the lighting and then
the warm-up
processing.
Guy,
yeah.
The person who's getting the audience to give the energy out.
You know who that was? Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon did the warm-up
Ed McMahon
on,
did the warm-up
on Tonight Show. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he would always talk directly and he would bring out Doc Severinsen or Tommy Newsom and they would banter and then it'd be like, because I know that Letterman comes out and talks to the audience and
so
Leno comes
Leno,
out, but Johnny Carson, that was like, no. By that time, it was like, you are not going to see Johnny Carson until he comes out to do the show. And that's the way he wanted it. Anyhow, I would have been disappointed if I had seen him.
Why? Because he was a fantasy?
Because he was Johnny fucking Carson.
Hey, man, I'll back you up on that.
Yeah, no, it's just amazing. And now Jimmy Fallon's taking over the show. Jimmy Fallon isn't a competent
talent.
He is
I'll
a very
that.
Talented person, but it's not the same thing.
Well, you know what, Hannes? Time marches forward.
What? No, not for those kittens or those people you were putting in their laps.
Before we get to Frank Nicotero, real quick, I wanted to remind you guys that if you want to support Storyworthy, and of course you do.
You do, because someday we'll all be dead.
And there's a couple of things you can do. You can
go to storyworthypodcast.com and click on the donate button.
Oh, that's
you can give us
easy.
A one-time gift, or you could even give us a monthly gift, and
boy,
that would be awesome.
That is easy, isn't it?
Just it's very simple.
Just keeps coming out every month. Just I'm not going to say what it's like, because that's not going to work.
Huh? What? Who? Where?
Yeah. I was
going to
say something about menstruation, but then that fucks up everything. I know.
Hang on.
Every
so you
month.
Decided giving us a monthly donation is like having your period.
Ladies and gentlemen, we also are
if you're sloughing off change from your uterus, why not send it to us in an envelope, a bloody envelope? Too much? Too late.
Twitter at Storyworthy. That's simple. Twitter
at Storyworthy.
All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay tuned because Frank Nicotero is on his way here. Next week on Storyworthy, we have author Charles Freericks.
And I'll be talking about being stalked in Santa Monica.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
Hi, this is Rodney, all right? Hey, all right, you're listening to Storyworthy, all right? Go fuck yourself.
And we're back. We're still in Culver City, but we left Sony Studios. We're now at Ford's Filling Station restaurant, which is owned by the chef of Ford's Filling Station, Harrison Ford's son.
Is that true?
That is true.
Is it like the car theme then? Is it like that whole thing?
No, it's like a gastro pub. It's one of those really hip, like, you know, the hamburgers are $20 and they're really good, but you're like, it's still a hamburger.
Yeah, and you have to get it at the counter, or maybe you have like a number you put on your table.
No, they have servers.
Yeah, that's right.
Servers.
It's called waiters and waitresses, Hannes.
Yeah, for a second I was just losing it. Anyhow, so thank you. Oh, they just brought over my hot dog.
All right, you guys, Frank Nicotero is here right now. Frank Nicotero is a television host and a comedian, widely known as the host of the comedy game show Street Smarts. You remember that, Hannes?
Street Smarts.
It ran forever. It was funny.
500 years.
But it was on, man. And boy, I'll tell you what, he was so good at it. Currently, Frank hosts the new game show Win, Lose, or Pawn that takes place in a pawn shop. It's on CMT, and I hope we see more of it. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet. It's only aired twice so far. It'll be airing much more.
It will.
It's cable, and that means it will air and air and air.
The first one, a girl, because the idea of the show, that somebody comes in to pawn their stuff, and then the pawn shop owner determines whether it's worth a lot of money, and Frank says, you know, you want to take $300 or you want
to have sex with the pawn shop owner.
Something like that. And those lines, the first girl, you know, comes in a red Baywatch bathing suit.
Nice.
Of course.
Does she run in slow motion?
Yes, exactly. So this is where we're at. No, but it's a lot of fun. And you can find Frank on Twitter at Frank Nicotero. So, folks, wherever you are, please put your hands together for Frank Nicotero.
Oh, thank you. All right, since we're talking about game shows, I wanted to talk about an experience I had on the game show Wipeout. I used to host a show on Yahoo called Primetime and No Time, where we did clips and teased TV shows. Well, Wipeout called and said, "Hey, Mr. Big Mouth, why don't you come on Wipeout since you're always making fun of people getting hurt? Let's put you on the course." And I said, "Sure," which was mistake number one. So the day before I'm supposed to do the course, the producer of the Yahoo show I'm doing goes, "Hey, they want you to bring your wetsuit." And I said, "I don't own a wetsuit." And he says, "Oh, okay, just bring a pair of sweatpants. I'm sure that'll be fine." I say, "Yeah, I got sweatpants, sure." So I show up the next day out by Magic Mountain, the amusement park here in California. And it's very early on a Saturday. And I'd been out the night before and had a few beers. And so I show up. It's about 8 a.m. And they bring me in. And sitting there are all the contestants that are going to be running the course that day. They already have wetsuits on. They have harness vests and stuff like that. And they say, okay, this is Frank Nicotero from Yahoo. He's going to go before you guys. They hate me right. They're like, great. Who the fuck is this guy? Oh, Mr. Internet guy. So I'm like, okay. So they go, okay, let's give you a safety vest. So he puts the safety vest on. Safety vest is really tight. And it's really tight. And I go, wow, this is really tight. Do you have one maybe a little bigger? He goes, no, you want it tight for safety. And I go, okay. So they take me up to the starting. They kind of show me the course. Then they take me up to the starting point. And they say, okay, here comes our safety advisor. Good luck. Safety advisor comes up and goes, hey, man, watch Street Smarts all the time. Great show. I said, thanks. He goes, when are you doing this? I said, right now. He goes, really? Really? Is this what you're wearing? I said, why? He goes, you're wearing sweatpants? I go, yeah. And he goes, do you have chonies on underneath? Apparently chonies means underwear. I didn't know that. It was just, I didn't know. I go, I think I have chonies on. He goes, okay. And you're wearing Stan Smith Adidas tennis shoes. Yep. Really? Yes. Good luck. And I have no idea why he's so like horrified at this. So they say, go. I come running down the little hill. I go to hit the first little rubber waving banana. I hit it. I fall into the water, which they purposely chill between 36 and 40 degrees. And it's Saturday morning and I hit that water and holy shit. The first thing in my head is, what have I gotten myself into? So now the sweatpants that I'm wearing from Target, the all 100% cotton, now weigh about 30 extra pounds. And the Stan Smith tennis shoes are filled with mud, probably adding another 20 pounds. Also, at this point in my life, I'm the heaviest I've ever been. So I climb out of the water. I have to go back over the bananas. I hit the water again. Now I come up. I'm covered in mud. It looks like Apocalypse Now. You can't see anything but just this mud creature. And I'm wearing contacts, so I'm having a hard time seeing. So now I get up, and I go on this next apparatus, the boxing gloves. And the boxing gloves, they knock me into the water. So then I get up, and then I have to go on this thing called the conveyor belt, and it bucks me off. Now I hit the water. I'm having a hard time breathing. Now, if you remember, I told you about how tight the vest was. Well, the vest was tight, and now that I need to expand my ribs and lungs to breathe, I can't. So now I'm having a hard time breathing, and I'm taking short sips like that, and the safety guy jumps in the water to come after me, and I hold him off. I'm like, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm okay. So that's how bad I looked. So now I get back up. The girl's on the sidelines making fun of me. I now literally have an extra 20 pounds of water and mud. My sweatpants are falling off me. My underwear's showing. It's horrible. So now the last part is a zip line that you're supposed to go across, go through this foam, and land on this platform. That's the big ending. And I'm determined to do this. So I take a running start. I stop. I back up. I'm like, I'm going to do it this time. So I sail on the zip line. I go to land on top of the platform. But no, I hit it split-legged. Bam. Split-legged, hit the side of the thing, fall into the water, boosh. I crawl to the finish. Girl makes fun of me. I predict my time within 5 seconds, which is impressive. So now I have to go home. I'm humiliated. I'm soaking wet. I'm muddy. So now the 40-minute drive home, I'm stiffening up. The mud pants are kind of caking onto me. The shoes are just disgusting. So I get out of the garage, and I go into the backyard, and there my wife is sitting there. And I am just hunched over. I'm like, I can't move. I just take off all my clothes. I'm just ripping clothes off. And I look down, and my left testicle is the size of a grapefruit. Because when I hit that mat, I literally hit my left nut directly onto the mat. So I look down, and it's giant. She's laughing and pointing. I'm like, oh, my God. It swelled up 4 times the regular size. And I'm like, had I known, I would have hit my dick instead of my balls on the platform. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that was my wipeout story. And if they ever ask you to go on the show, don't do it, because I was sore for 5 weeks.
Oh my humiliating. God. How long did it take? Like, what was your time?
They said, how long do you think you did? I said 8 minutes, 12 seconds. She goes, wow, that's impressive. 8 minutes, 8 seconds.
That's
so close.
Time.
It was 8 minutes that seemed like 80 minutes. And I was just so out of shape and drinking the night before.
I have so many questions.
Well, how much of that time would they actually show on TV? They're not going to show 8 minutes.
They cut it together. It's like 3 or 4 minutes. I don't even know. I don't know if they ever showed it as like, I know they used me on a couple bumpers.
We're going to look that up on YouTube. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
But had you never seen the show before?
I had seen the show many times.
Did you think the wardrobe would just supply you with
a wetsuit?
You would think that, yeah. Well, all the contestants had wetsuits and aqua socks.
But this is like a non-union show where it's like they have no money. They're like, you want to be on the show,
I'll do it. I just said, sure. I make fun of it all the time. Let's do it.
And so they kind of said, celebrity host Frank Nicotero from Yahoo.com.
Right.
Okay. What was the safety guy wearing?
Was he like a lifeguard? The safety guy. Excuse me. The safety guy. No, he was just like a big muscle guy, just like in shorts and a t-shirt. And he literally started going in the water, and I waved him off. Because you could tell I was having a hard time breathing.
Right.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't catch my breath because this fucking vest was so tight.
Is there like a director on the show? Was it like, you know?
They were laughing. They were in the truck laughing.
Oh, they're in the truck. They're
Matt
not Kunitz, really
the executive
on the
producer. They were all laughing their asses off because I had been making fun of the show so much. And this was right around the second season. And there was a thing called the motivator, which is this thing. If you stop before the big red balls, it sweeps you off.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, when they were stepping me through the set, they go, oh, if you're over this red line, you're fine. So there's a point where I get over the red line, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop and catch my breath, not knowing the motivator actually comes and swats you right off
into
the red
balls. Oh, my gosh. It was
speaking of big red balls, your wife, not much help with the expanded testicle.
No.
Because it's like, you know, it's like I expected you to say, and my wife is screaming and she's dialing 911, but she's pointing and laughing.
Yeah, she thought it was hysterical.
At your expanded testicle. I don't know.
And she was mad that she didn't get up because I had to get up at like 7 to drive to do this.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to get up and do, you know, and come and watch. And she's like, that her first reaction was after she saw how like I was soaked and caked in mud and water and my left nut was huge. She's like, oh, I should have got out of bed. I'm like,
no
shit.
I would have come in a minute. I would have come to watch that in a minute. Well, and this is also ironic because you have a pool in your yard.
I do.
You are a swimming guy.
Right.
You
can swim.
You don't dive, I understand.
How did you know that?
I just know you don't dive.
How the hell do you know that, Christine? I know we've known each other a long time.
Frank and I go, that is an odd thing.
We're
both from Pittsburgh, and I know a lot
about
it.
I don't know how to dive. I don't. I was a swimmer as a kid. I remember getting certified. I was a good swimmer, but I never could dive. So I've had this house for like 10 years. I don't know how to teach you.
I totally used to teach kids.
Cannonball. Like, I can't. Every time, like, I just try to be funny. Like,
why don't you just give it a rest with the water and the propulsion?
I think I should.
Okay? These two things don't go together with you.
And honestly, it was like, it was right after my 40th birthday. And I think I was eating and drinking. I was literally probably 170 pounds maybe. 168 or 170. I was the heaviest I've ever been.
Yeah.
Right now, today, I'm probably 148. I was probably 20 pounds heavier. I'm out of shape. It was
48 pounds of that is left nut.
Is left nut. If that swelling went down, yeah. It was just a bad idea.
It's too bad you went first. If you had seen other people, you could have been anticipating.
I don't think they wanted me to. That was the whole thing. Because they were like, oh, smart ass guy, let's show him.
I really want to see this.
I have that. Now, I was just in Pittsburgh over Christmas. Right. I'm doing a couple shows. And when I go to Pittsburgh, it's family and half the crowd I know. So I always do, which is great. So I do a lot of new material. And I've never told the story on stage. And I told the story on stage, and I ended with it. And then as a treat, I showed the video, because I do have the DVD. Because after I tell the story, people are laughing and enjoying it. I go, well, if you guys, you know, if you want, I could show you the video.
Yeah.
And I was at the Arcade Comedy Theater in Pittsburgh, and they have a great projection screen. People are like, yeah. So I kind of narrate it and just kind of made up some jokes.
That must be so damn
so
funny.
So I did two shows. Oh, my God. And there's no way I could. It got the biggest laugh. You can't describe how funny it is. And it's horrifying.
You would probably go on Circus of the Stars.
Oof.
Maybe we should bring that back.
First, we have to invent a time machine.
Right. Well, Joey Fatone hosted a version of that a few years ago.
Oh, they that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did. I'm not good at tumbling or diving, so I don't
know. Why don't you know what chonies are?
Is that a Hispanic
chonies.
Thing? Is it a Mexican thing?
No, I don't think it's chonies.
It's a Hispanic thing. I would have figured it out from the context,
well,
but I've never heard.
That's what I do.
I've heard the name. I didn't know what it.
He said, "Are you wearing chonies?"
When you said it, I thought.
What's that?
Do you say panties?
I say underwear.
Oh,
boxer
underwear.
Briefs.
I thought chonies. I thought was a brand of board short or something. That's what I thought. I didn't realize it was. Yeah,
no,
underwear.
It does sound like.
I think it's just slang.
Chonies. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just slang.
It's slang for underwear, but thank God I did have them on. But they were tan. Thank God I didn't wear white. They were tan boxer briefs. I still have this pair because when I'm trying to climb up this one ladder. My sweatpants, which are 40 pounds heavier now, waterlogged.
Are falling off,
you
of course.
My underwear. And then you get to the end, and there's this weird thing, and that was my belly that was red from hitting the water so hard.
Right, and I'm also thinking maybe your testicle didn't swell up, but everything else shrunk so much in the water that it looked like
Could
it was four
be.
Times.
And they never meant to give you the right size vest. I mean, in that respect,
I don't know, but if
didn't.
I would have died, my family would have had a wrongful death, because I sort of, I put it on, and I went, wow, this is really tight. And they go, no, you want it tight for safety. And I went, yeah, you do.
What was the goal of this? Just for, I mean, in other words, were you like, were you doing this for charity or just?
It was just
to
have some clips on the show. So if we would refer to Wipeout, if we would cover Wipeout,
right, then you could have
producers, you know, they could scream off camera, oh, well, let's see you do it. And I could be like, oh, there is a clip, which we did. We showed, they use these clips. We referred to them many times where I hit the red balls and I fall. And so we use the clips a lot.
It is iconic. I mean, it definitely
will
hold water.
I can say I did. but I'll never do again.
Tell us about some of the other, because you've been on other game shows too, like when you first moved to LA.
When I first moved out here, there was a game show called Debt with Wink Martindale. Yeah, and you had to be in debt to go on. And it was there was like four comics, Chip Chinnery, Bobby Tessel. A lot of comics went on because comics were all in debt and we were out here.
Yeah.
And we all sit around and watch TV all day and we all know a lot of pop culture. So I went on and proved that I was in debt. And the first couple questions, the first question the show, the guy next to me gets, and the second one I think the girl gets, and then I go on a streak. Like Wink Martindale is like flabbergasted. I go on like 14 like, in a row.
Oh my
God.
I'm
just like nailing everything. Because the key is on a game show is not waiting for them to finish the question. Most game shows have a little light. I believe Jeopardy does too. Once the question's finished, the buzzers are locked out, and then when the light comes on, that's when you can buzz in. So I would look at the question, listen to Wink Martindale, and look for the light. Boom. And I could hear them clicking before he would finish, but I was waiting for the light, and I just nail it. So I get to the final round, and I go double or nothing, and I win double or nothing. I won $14,106.
Right.
So I got a check for $14,106, you know, because they don't take taxes out. You're supposed to claim it as income, and I was broke at the time. So $14,106, that's what I lived off
of. Right, sure.
I mean, 10 grand right up the nose, sure. But no, it was the 90s.
Now, did you pay off your debt?
I paid off my debt. I did. Okay. I paid the $7,000.
So it worked out.
It did. And then I put it in my cousin's bank account, and he would just kind of put me on like a stipend. Is that the word? Stipend?
Is that right?
Yeah. And I would have money, and I had like $7,000, and I was living with him for free at the time. And then
now I have to say your other game shows happen. Well, okay. No way. I want to hear about other game shows
for
sure.
No, first.
Well, I was just going to say your cousin is Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So when you came out to LA, you stayed with your cousin.
I lived with my cousin for 3 years, about 3 years, and for free, which was very nice. And that was some of the 3 years of the best of my life. I mean, we just went out and had fun and.
That's so great.
Drank a lot. And yeah, and he always had his effects company. He was always very successful at effects. And then The Walking Dead happened, which they've won a couple Emmys for, but he's worked his way up to one of the executive producers. And the past two seasons, he's directed like a half a dozen episodes. So yeah, he's doing great
what
right
now.
What a
blast. And
yeah, it's great.
It's great. So I mean,
and every time he needs to like think of like what would a mindless zombie do, he thinks about you on his couch.
Well, he's like, okay. Like a zombie testicle.
He can yes, exactly.
Well, you know, actually, I did lay on his couch a long time, but when Street Smarts happened, I paid him back for like 3 years what I figured out was rent. So so that way he couldn't his whole life say
you
live
doing
for free.
Pittsburgh rent like $300 a month. Or are we doing LA?
I was doing probably LA rent, but I gave him a good chunk of change to be like, here, stop telling people.
Hey, listen, you must get to see some cool stuff though. Effects cousin.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a bunch of sets with them, which has been great. I mean, I was on From Dusk Till Dawn the whole entire shoot pretty much because they would leave for work. Him and this other guy that lived with us. They would go to work at like 5 a.m. So I did the math and I'm like, okay, lunch is at 11 or 12. So I would show up right when they're breaking for a meal and I'd be like, oh, is it food? What?
What?
That's like, the thing. It goes back to eating food
for free.
On sets. It's true.
Yeah.
But that was Selma Hayek's first movie and like one of George Clooney's real first movies. So we hung out a lot with them. And then I was on the set for Green Mile.
That's great.
The Michael Jeter, the body and the electric chair. He actually has the electric chair. But like was right near Tom Hanks.
So your cousin, that's so interesting. Your cousin did the electric chair scene
in Green Mile.
Isn't that funny? It's not specific.
Right, because you're not thinking that special effects.
Yes, but it is.
It's very specific.
Yeah, it's not all just zombies. I mean, they've done Dances with Wolves was one of their first big movies. The company itself won an Oscar for Narnia, which was his partner, Howard Berger, who was on set for that, gets the Oscar, but the company...
good for him. Is he from Pittsburgh as well?
Howard is from... Greg's from...
We're going to get him on the show.
But he has to be in Atlanta where they shoot most of the time.
He's there like 6-7 months of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's there from like April through Thanksgiving.
So does he have a second family in Atlanta? Has he started new?
It's like one of those Lifetime movies. He's like the pilot who has
exactly. And then he ends up, is he played by Mark Harmon or Rob Lowe?
And Judith Light is somewhere in there. He's there. They have like a condo there. Yeah, he's there like 6-7 months a year. Comes back to LA for meetings and just to see his kids and stuff. Or they'll come in the summer. But yeah, so he's there a lot.
It is a great show. There's no doubt about it.
It's great.
So good.
And everyone's like, how come you haven't been a zombie yet? And I'm like, well, first of all, zombies, they look for tall people, thin people, because you're supposed to be emaciated. Long necks.
No fat zombies. That's
and plus,
wrong.
He knows that I don't want to sit in a chair for 5 hours with makeup, because I did it once. They were testing old age makeup.
That's weird.
I want to say it was actually for Tom Hanks on Green Mile, actually, because originally, you know, the character in the movie, I'm not spoiling it, but if you haven't seen it, it's great.
Yeah, spoiler alert, 15-year-old
movie. He's 110 at the end,
right.
Remember? So they were going to have Tom Hanks in old age makeup, but Frank Darabont ended up going, no, let's just go with an older actor, which I think worked out better. But they did an old age makeup on me, so I had to sit there and get the goop on my head
gosh.
And the straws. And A lot of actors can't handle it. A lot of actors, I think it was
claustrophobic.
Pesci peeled it off.
I've actually done this. I was in a terrible movie called Corpses, and they had to encircle my entire head with the two straws sticking out of my nose, which I thought I am not going to be able to take this.
But
I was.
You made it.
But I made it. Caveman prosthetics on a show, on a movie as well. And it's the same idea.
I just, for like, I had a panic attack for about 10 seconds, and then I just took a deep breath,
relaxed,
and I was fine.
Yeah.
Because my cousin said, there's no way you're going to do it. I think I got lunch out of it or something, or more free rent. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I thought I couldn't do it, but I made it. And we did a really cool old age makeup on me, which is really horrifying. It's really scary to see what I'm probably
what you're going to look at.
Well, you know, it's like Johnny Knoxville did all those movies in that makeup, which is really amazing. Do you know if they use some of the zombies twice? Do they use some
the
of those
actual
actors?
Corpses or the
no,
actors?
The actors. Do they use those zombies more?
That's a question
because
I don't know.
They all look very similar. They're all wearing gray. It's all dirty clothes. So it's gray, white, blacks.
I would assume maybe they do. I mean, I know that you know if you watch The Talking Dead after once in a while, there was a little piece of video. They actually have a zombie school that they have actors come in and you know you got to do the walk and the stuff. So they actually.
You
really
have to learn the Michael Jackson
thriller
flash dance.
So yeah, they might use some of the really good ones for the hero.
My favorite zombies are the children zombies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That hits home.
Yeah. I mean, I like that show, but I'm not crazy about it the way other
people
are crazy
about it.
They're fanatics about it. I was a fanatic about Breaking Bad.
Right.
I will totally. Not.
Well, my cousin did that. He did Gus's face, the half face.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, now suddenly I'm impressed.
Yeah, he did that because
that was awesome.
He got to go when they were at the Academy. The whole cast of Breaking Bad.
But wait,
Bad
that
was
wasn't talking. CGI then?
I figured some was CGI, but some was practical. So some of it was real. So Greg actually brought the cast, the head cast, to this panel thing.
Wow.
And I got to go backstage and meet like you know
all
Skyler,
those guys.
And,
amazing.
And so Aaron Paul comes up. And Greg goes, this is my cousin Frank. And he goes, hey, he goes, wow, you look really familiar. You like an act? I said, wow. He goes, why do I know you? And I said, well, I hosted the show Street Smart. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, fuck, dude. He goes, I watch that back in Iowa all the time or Idaho or wherever he's from.
So
like,
cool.
And I was like flattering. I'm like, holy shit, Jesse Pinkman watched Street Smart.
That's so
but
cool.
Greg,
did he call you bitch?
He didn't call me bitch, which I should have. That would have been a crowning achievement in my life. But yeah, so they did. So he brought Gus's head, and Giancarlo Esposito was there. And they pointed out Greg, but he did that, and I think Aaron wanted a mold of that too. So I think Greg had to run a few more and give as gifts to the guys. But Breaking Bad, the Walking Dead people are fanatic about the show.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
they're
so
absolutely
like, and they all want it to really happen. That's the freaky thing. They're like, man, it'd be so cool if this happened.
Yeah,
like if a zombie apocalypse. I'm like, really? It
would be cool. I kind of go that route sometimes because I was always a huge Stephen King fan. So when you get into movies, his books like It, or not It,
The Stand,
and the big ones,
which
like
was filmed
that.
In Pittsburgh, the miniseries.
Yeah, and so it gets you. It really puts you in that moment of like, what if an apocalypse, and what if
what
I was one of the only remaining people. And it came down to this society. Well, who would I be in that society? Who would I be? Who would you be?
You would be played by Molly Ringwald.
I'd be the strong. No, I'd be the strong. I'd be the girl, the blonde girl who just recently died on The Walking Dead. I'd be her. What's her name? Andrea. I'd totally be Andrea.
I would be the guy driving all the. I'd just like drive from car to car and just like speed around.
You'd
isn't
be
that
the hot guy with the arrow.
Right.
He never runs out of arrows. It's so convenient.
Unfortunately, I would be the old man in the fishing hat who dispenses wisdom to people.
who also dies.
By the way, I noticed that on Walking Dead because I hadn't thought about where they had that guy with the fishing hat and then he died.
Greg directed that episode.
Right, and then they immediately like, well, we need another old guy. So they go to the farmhouse and they get the other. Bad. It's like, isn't that the same exact guy? Where he's like, he's been through it all.
And a cool thing, why can't I think of the old guy with the hat who died?
Dale.
Thank you. Anthony.
Engineer is like, his pants are off. He's so excited about The Walking Dead.
Greg directed that episode, and what he did, which I thought was really interesting, was he didn't let any of the other actors see Dale in the state he was in, which was his intestines all ripped out.
Right.
Because these actors have grown so close and spent so much time. So he wanted their first reaction of seeing Dale, the character, dying for the actors to be seeing their friend, the actor, like ripped apart. And you really see like some great emotion out of it. The first shot of them is the one he used, he says. And it's them like just crying right away.
It was pivotal. The whole show was really pivotal. That's exciting.
I think it's really great that he's moved into directing.
Why are we talking about your cousin?
I don't know. Well, because it always segues. I'm sure he always talks about me when he's on
TV. What happened to that Yahoo show?
It's still going. They just they went with someone else. My contract was up and...
Famous show business phrase, they went another direction.
They did. They went a cheaper way if we wanted to.
You know, when I had a television show, we had flown in from Miami, and we were literally taxiing into the gate, and I checked my messages, and it was my agent. So I stupidly call my agent, you know, then.
You're still on the plane.
Sitting next to the other host, the talent. And then, you know, then it's like director, you know, PA guy, whatever. We're all in a row. Sandwiched in, three on the plane. And I call my agent and she goes, yeah, honey, listen, they're letting you go. And I said, what? You know what? And she goes, we're letting you go. They're keeping Dan on. So Dan, my co-host, he sees my reaction. So at first he's like,
the show's canceled.
The show's canceled. He's like, his face is crestfallen. And I said, but I mouthed to him, you know, they're keeping you. And he's like, well, maybe like, it's not that bad.
It turns out I'll be a baggage claim. You're just going to get right back on. Oh,
that's crushing.
Terrible.
Crushing.
That is terrible.
But you've had a nice upward trajectory of your shows and the things that you're doing.
Yeah, there's been I mean, I've hosted some game shows and this thing and, you know, I've done some low budget horror movies like you and like you, Hannes. And
we've all done low budget horror movies.
I haven't done a nude scene.
You haven't
yet.
Oh well.
Well, you're down to 148 pounds of testicle, so you might want
to 148 with the left testicle at normal size.
You could you got giant testicle. You could have your own show. That the guy with the 160 pound scrotum has his own show.
That would be like a TLC show right there. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Living with the giant ball. You know, my cousin does prosthetics. I should have him put on.
Oh, and we
pitch the show to TLC. Boom, we're all producers.
Yeah,
all
can we get your cousin on the show? Because he sounds fascinated.
I will promise. But wait a minute, you co-hosted Sharon Osbourne's show too.
I did that. I did that a couple times with Sharon Osbourne, which was cool. And
what do you like more, being yourself or being the game show guy? What do you like?
You know, I think the key was Street Smarts, and I think the reason it worked, at least I hope, I wasn't a game show host. It was just me. Like I was hired to write and produce the pilot because I had been writing and producing shows. And I got hired to help write and produce the pilot. And then they needed test footage, so they sent me out. So the footage came back, and Warner Brothers was like, this is great.
That's amazing.
Then we had all these comics come in.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
And they everybody was auditioning, and they went back to you.
A ton of people. Well, they had all these people coming in to audition for the studio part. And one day someone fell out, and someone was late. So they go, Frank, can you host a run-through? And I nailed it. But little did Warner Brothers know, I wrote the script. They didn't realize I'd written. So they're
gosh,
like, wow, he picked
awesome.
Up on it, nailed it. I'm like, Scott didn't say it. Scott St. John didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So then they went, well, we're going to give you the entire show. It was originally they were going to integrate some other reporters.
Right.
Yeah. Thinking the schedule would be too much, but they just said, nope.
That's so
all
exciting.
You. And, you know, we did 800 episodes over 5 years. So it was great. Yeah.
800 episodes.
790.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is a lot of episodes.
Non-union.
Is it a rerun anywhere?
You know, GSN owned the rights for years, but no one's showed it in a while, so...
I'm surprised, the endless maw of cable television, that it's not showing so
much. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of game shows, do you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
I would love to.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Okay, virginity. I got virginity.
Okay.
This will take only about 10 seconds. I met a girl. I was doing stand-up. I didn't have sex till I was 20. I was doing stand-up at a show. A girl came up to me afterwards, was like, come on, let's go to a party. We go to the party. We go into the bathroom. Some oral sex happened. We go back to her place. She gets on her bed. She takes off all her clothes. I'm nervous. I start getting on the bed. She goes, what are you doing? Take off your clothes. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. So in my head, I want to remember everything. So I look over, and there's a picture of a guy on the nightstand. I go, who's that? She goes, oh, that's my boyfriend. He's in the Army, but you're way cuter. I'm like, oh, my God. So the song on the radio was... a James Ingram song, and I'm listening to it, and the whole thing, I start sex, boom, 8 seconds, maybe 10, and her name was Trudy. That's all I remember. If she was sitting next to me right now, wouldn't know her, but it was Trudy. I was 20. It was amazing. So to celebrate, on my way home, back to my mom's house, because I still live with my mom, I stopped at Burger King, got a breakfast bagel, ate it, got home, called all my friends at college, and said, I finally had sex, and hung up the phone.
Wow, that's a beautiful story in like 55 seconds.
Right, and the extra 5 seconds,
You could have done twice,
when I had sex.
Did you ever see her again?
No, and she could be sitting in this room right now, and you guys could be like, Frank, we have a surprise for you, and I wouldn't. Her name was Trudy, which sounds like a fake name, but
Anthony,
it was a real name.
Bring her out.
And I know.
That's right.
And I know
she had a sex change. She is Anthony.
She lived on Elmer Street because I wanted to remember the street for when I write my biography. Elmer Street, which is in Shadyside.
I was going to say in Squirrel
Hill. Pittsburgh, Shadyside, yeah. Squirrel Hill. I think it runs continuously.
I always think, like, how disappointed are these women? Because there's versions of this story where it's like, you know, the guy is like, you know, she assumes he's done it and he hasn't. And it's 5 seconds. And she must have been like, What the hell?
Yeah.
I think women are more savvy now because of television and movies and everything. Because, Internet. Like, at least when I was growing up, like, I didn't discover anything good about sex till I was about 26.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I did have sex a second time with her that morning. And, like, we went again, and she's like, yeah, there you go. Yeah, now you got it. And I'm like, yeah, take it.
Wow. But what was that was up a minute.
I was 20, so. About 3 seconds.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
I remember when I left, it was bright. So we left Zelda's, which was a bar you could get in under.
Yeah, on Wednesdays. Yeah, John Tuckett on Wednesdays.
We did a couple of John
Tuckett. I know, right by the O.
Oh, my God. You could get in literally. I mean, I got in. I was 19 doing stand-up, 20 doing stand-up. I looked like I was 16 or 17, so. If not younger, but we drank, so it was two, and then we went to an after party, so three. So sun came up, so I was probably at her place for like 3 hours. Yeah, I didn't get any fries at the O, but
it's fine. Every stand-up comic, because my virginity story has to do with a bartender at a stand-up comedy show. It's like it's all about stand-up, fucking reason that you go into show business of any kind is to meet girls. Yeah.
Well, listen, along these lines, are you married?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, that just happened since last time I was here. The wife who was sitting in the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laughing at your testicles?
Yeah. She was she's from Canada. We met. We got married. But
what's
she really
about?
Wants to live in. What's that about?
She was trying to sneak into the country.
She was very sorry. She did get a green card. She just didn't want to. She hates L.A. She didn't want to live in L.A.
Whoa.
She didn't like entertainment business, how it was up and down. And I'm like, well, this is what I do. And she's like, well, we can move to Canada. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Be a plumber? She's like, no, I just want a simple life. And I'm like, well, I can't do that. And she's like, well, I can't stay here. So, this just happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that sucks.
Of course she
did. You would have thought we did, or I thought it was discussed, or it was just assumed because I worked. And
was it a quick engagement period?
No, we were engaged about a year. I mean,
I think a lot of women still always are like, you know how women are trying to like change men. I mean, sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's not, but it's like sometimes it's positive. But it's like women always have an idea in their head that the man they're with is a fixer-upper and there are changes that can still be made.
I agree.
Now, coming home, you come home at, 5 a.m.
I have
fixed
so many men.
You think you have, and yet they lie on the side of the road bleeding internally. But it's like you come home from being on the thing with you and you're ripping your pants off and your ball is too big and you're covered in mud. That should have been a clue to her, like, this guy is not going to get an office job in Vancouver. This is not the guy who's going to settle down.
It's a small town in Canada. It's a small town.
And you needed a girl who was going to go with you to begin with, because it's always really damn funny.
That's right. She didn't go and see me do the chorus.
I would have been there with my iPhone right on your cock.
It's
really... Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
With the zoom lens, because it was very cold water.
Yes, exactly. It was. But it just, it was an amicable split. This just happened last month. So, I mean,
last year.
That we're done. Yeah,
just, right. It takes a while.
I didn't see her last year at all, hardly, because she was always taking trips to Canada anyway. This has now become a therapy session. But, it didn't work
How's
out.
Your cousin's marriage? Is that solid?
That's good. He's good. He's good. Got two lovely kids. Yeah,
okay,
good.
Well, I'm so happy you came today.
Thanks for having me.
I love having you here.
Thank you, Frank.
I had Jimmy Crenn on just a couple of months ago, which I love.
I was just on his podcast.
I heard
last
it in the live show in Pittsburgh.
I really
enjoyed it. And Mark Getty, of course, also a friend of yours.
Of course.
You know, Mark Getty was supposed to be on the show, Hannes, and I have him on the show. He's going to come.
I don't know who any of these people are.
It doesn't matter. The point is, I email Mark, hey, man, you got to give me your topic. What are we going to talk about? And he writes back, Christine, I didn't know there was homework involved. I don't have any stories. I'm like, what? So he has not been on the show.
I'll think of a few stories. Ask him about my bachelor party.
Yeah, let's do a thing where we
have stories. He's an entertainer.
Him and I traveled together. We did so many colleges together. We would do NACA, the big college act.
You've done over 300 comedy clubs, I understand.
Clubs or colleges, or at least. But yeah. And Mark and I would do 4 or 5 shows in Maryland, like colleges in Maryland and West Virginia and Michigan. We did a ton of colleges. So he has plenty of fucking stories.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a subcategory. It's called Story Worthy by Proxy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And we'll have people in to talk about people who didn't bother to tell the story.
That's
so you
right.
tell a story about him, and then you can answer questions about his life.
Exactly.
Awesome.
All right, you guys. We're going to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network. By the way, it's a new year, Hannes. Happy New Year.
It is a new year. Happy New Year. Happy 2014,
And we do appreciate Sideshow Network, everything they do for us. Anthony Bench, Roddy Swear Engine, Sean Merrick.
Right.
We come into their space. We drink their Diet Coke.
We actually, it's our first show of the new year, and we came in. They were all wearing diapers and sashes that say 2014.
And that was a welcome.
That was a fine, fine thing.
How are their testicles? Were they swollen at all or no?
And on behalf...
Wow. Too far, man. Too far. The line's behind you. Suddenly it's over and...
All
two
right,
testicles
guys.
Swollen is a medical condition. One is hilarious. Remember, odd numbers are hilarious. Even numbers are not.
That's right.
That's right.
Cleveland is funny. Toledo is not. On behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he's the guy, Hannes, who wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
That's true. He also wrote an ode to his own testicle.
And, of course, our storyteller tonight, Frank Nicotero. Thank you so much
thank
for coming
you guys,
in.
Thank you, as always.
Thank
and
you.
On behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.